Thank you, Howard. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody, and those of you that are joining us online, we're glad you're here with us. Have you ever asked the question, why doesn't God seem fair? Have you ever asked the question, where is God in the middle of all the stuff that's going on? Anybody watch the news anymore? Anybody? Good, I'd stay off of it. But if you turn on the news, you see unrest, bitterness, anger. You just see stuff everywhere, right? Where's God in the middle of all that? Have you ever had something so deep, a desire in your heart, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've fasted and you've fasted and you've fasted and you've cried and you've done all of that, and it seems like God just never answered? Anybody ever been in any of those places? I have. I think we all have. Listen what Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, said. He said this, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise." How long? How long, God? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Habakkuk, let me just kind of set up the prophet Habakkuk. As I was seeing everything that was going on in our world today, and I try to stay off of it. The only time I get on Facebook is when I have to sign into Facebook to do the water coolers. But when I go to check my emails, they're all, you know, on AOL. And I got AOL not because I'm old. I got AOL because it's classic, okay? But I also have Gmail and I have all those other things. But, you know, AOL is my main thing. So AOL pops up, all, you know, when you're getting ready to check your mail, all of these news, like, blurbs hit, right? And you see everything that's kind of going on in our world today, and you scratch your head and you say, God, why is this going on? I mean, today it seems like evil people prosper, and good people, bad things are always happening to them. I think of, people that say, yeah, I smoked my whole life, lived to 102. And yet my father, who was a godly man, died at 54. Why is that, God? We tried to raise our kids according to your word. We poured into them and prayed over them, and now our kids are all messed up and goofy. And this guy over here doesn't even show up to church. His kids kind of turned out okay. What is up with that, God? How come when somebody prays, it seems like you're always answering their prayers, but when I pray, it just kind of stops at the ceiling? What's going on, God? I've got these headaches that just won't go away, and this person over here that's just living this wild lifestyle, they don't seem to have any problems at all. Why? And that's what Habakkuk was asking God. Now, Habakkuk is one of what we call a minor prophet, and not that he's less important, it's just the book of Habakkuk is just smaller, that's all, you know? And so, in this short book of Habakkuk, we see a different type of prophet. Most of the prophets, when you think of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, all of these other prophets, when they are speaking, they're speaking what God has told them to speak to the people. But Habakkuk is different because it's a prophet having a conversation with God Almighty. And he's asking, God, why is this stuff going on? It's not so much about God delivering a message, but it's about God solving a problem in the world today. The name Habakkuk, they think, comes from the Jewish word habak, which means to wrestle or to fold. It means to embrace. It means to fold your hands. It's this kind of, I'm embracing, I'm holding on, I'm wrestling with this. In fact, in verse 1 it says this, the oracle, which is masa, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. And Masa means an utterance, but it also means doom. There's this doom, there's this burden that Habakkuk is feeling, and he's crying out to God, and God is speaking to him. In other words, if you thought about this today, it could be, God, there was this drunk driver, and this was the fourth time, you know, and he'd crashed into a car, and this innocent four-year-old was killed in this car. Father, in our world today, there's corruption and terrorism and the workplace and stuff going on. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Verse 4 in Habakkuk says this, "So the law is paralyzed." Means we can't, you know, it's lawless. "And justice never goes forth." Where is justice in everything that's going on today, Lord? "For the wicked surround the righteous, and justice goes forth perverted." Does this sound like thousands of years ago, or does this sound like today? Today. You turn on the news and this is what you see. You see justice perverted. You see rioting and you see all kinds of stuff that's going on. God, where are you in this? God, this is not fair. And Habakkuk has three major problems with God. Three major problems. The first one is, God, you don't seem to care. In other words, you're letting all of these things in the world happening, and God, that's just not fair. Maybe you don't even care. I don't know. You just don't seem to care, God. The second problem he has is maybe God is there, but he's just not doing everything that God could. God, I know you could. You're all powerful. You're all knowing. You're ever present. I believe you could do something. In fact, if you just did this one little thing, everything would be much, much better. Do you really care? Are you there? The third thing is what God is getting ready to do. God, that doesn't seem fair. In other words, what Habakkuk is saying, God, if I were in your shoes, this is the way I would handle it. How many of us have ever been there? Maybe have never voiced it, but we thought, you know what, if I was in charge, this is what I would do. Be honest. When you look at Scripture, there are times when questioning God becomes a significant part of our faith journey. Read the Psalms. I think about one-third of the Psalms are people crying out to God, God, save me from this. God, in my distress, God, where are you? God, are you there? What's going on, God? You have to rescue me. Are you going to leave me here forever in this place? Read the book of Job. Read the book of Lamentations. These are godly people crying out saying, have mercy, God. God, I believed everything that you said. God, I'm trying to do everything that you're asking me to do. What's going on? And I would argue that sometimes it's important for us to go through times of asking and questioning God. It's making us stronger in our faith. It's deepening our roots. What do you do when what you see with your eyes is so different than what you believe in your heart? You know, God, I gave my life to you. You know, I turn my back on friends and partying and all this other stuff. You know, it's what I'm doing now, right? I've done all of these things for you, God. Now you step up and do something. And I think we've all been in that place. God, I believe you're real. I believe Jesus came for me and I surrendered to him. And we've all been there, but before long we go to church, right? And we're on this mountain high and everything's going right well, but then all of a sudden the preacher says something and it kind of steps on our toes or just doesn't jive with what we believe or what we feel. And we enter into what Henry Blackaby calls a crisis of belief. In other words, you know what? I'm not so sure what I believe now. I think the church is going through that. I think the church overall is going through a crisis of belief because we want to say, you know, God, if I were you, I would let this go. God, if I were you, then this is okay. God, if I were you, this would be okay. And we start to mold God into our very image because that's what we would do. But that's not God. That's not God. What do you do when what you see is not consistent with what you believe and you're not even sure what to think about God anymore? One of the things I was sharing with Sandra this morning is I turned on my AOL email, this thing popped up. Boom! This 40-year-old lady who's a lawyer, she says, I have a backyard, I have a garage that's full of scooters and soccer balls. And when Ginsburg passed away, I became a Satanist. And I didn't even open the article. I thought, first off, who cares? You know, I don't care what this 40-year-old lady's dealing with in her life. And then I thought, well, that's not true either. But the point is, it's like, you know, God, you didn't do this one thing that I wanted you to do. And so I'm turning my back on you and I'm becoming a Satanist. Do we ever do that? You pray for something and then God doesn't answer quickly or the way you want it to do, so you run away from God and say, I don't even believe that anymore. That's that crisis of unbelief that Henry Blackaby was talking about. I will tell you, everyone will go through a period of time when we have this crisis of unbelief. The New Testament puts it this way in James. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith, that testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our Almighty God will lovingly allow you to go through seasons of doubt, periods of doubt, periods of questioning, times of fear, insecurities, unanswered questions, because He is going to do something in your life that you would not even believe. Some of you right now, that's where you're at. You don't know what to believe right now. You're where Habakkuk was. God, what are you doing? You know, I just don't understand. And what God said when He answers Habakkuk in this next verse is not what Habakkuk wanted to hear. What happens if we pray to God and He answers, but it's not the answer that we want? Listen how God answers Habakkuk. The Lord says this in verse 5, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. And that word is tama, which means to be utterly amazed. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working, God. Then He says this, for behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings, not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. He's describing these ruthless people. They are dreaded and fearsome. Right? Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence. In other words, God is saying, you know what? I'm raising up these people. I'm raising up these people. And why am I raising up these people? Because I'm coming to destroy my people. I'm coming for them to come against Israel. They're coming against my people because they need to learn. They have strayed away from me. And Habakkuk is kind of like, wait a minute, you're taking, you know, we're bad, but we're not that bad. I mean, these people are ruthless. They're fierce. They take over people. They kill people. They enslave nations. You're going to raise them up. I mean, we're bad, God, but we're not as bad as the Chaldeans. That's not fair, God. I mean, I'm praying to you, how long are you going to let this stuff go on in your people? But you know what? I didn't expect you to raise up an enemy against us. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this, and this was a verse that just kind of hit me, that pierced me to my heart this week. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, it is a terrifying thing. Listen, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. See, we want all of the gifts of God. We want, oh, God is love. God's going to forgive me, you know, and God came for me, and God loves me so much that Jesus is standing at the door knocking. You know what? Jesus does that. That is true, but it's only part of it. God wants His people to be holy, to be separate, to be a light to this world, to be salt to this earth, and we can't be that if we are being just like the world. We are fruit producers, not fruit inspectors. We're not better than anybody else out there. We want to be. We're not better, but we want to be. We're not holy, but we want to be. We're not righteous, but we want to be. Some of you right now, you're in this place and you're saying, I've got questions. I'm shaking in my faith right now. I don't know where to turn, what to believe. I had this situation happen in my life, and God, because this happens, I'm mad at you. I'm angry at you. I mean, we live in a world where there is going to be cancer, but no one wants to get cancer. We live in a world where people are going to die that we love. We live in a fallen, broken world, and stuff happens, y'all. God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that God doesn't do. You know, I'm going to smoke my whole life. Oh, I got cancer. I'm mad at God now. God gets blamed for stuff oftentimes, but you know what? God is so big, he can handle our questioning. And I really believe that part of our faith journey, part of our maturing in the faith, is that struggle, that habach, that wrestling with God, that embracing, that holding on. As Christ followers, is it okay to have faith but to have questions? Is it okay to answer, to ask God, to cry out to God? Yes, yes, yes it is. David in the Psalms many times cried out to God, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? Mark chapter 9, there's a story in Mark chapter 9 where a man, you can read about this later, it's in Mark chapter 9, it's a father who had a son, and the son was possessed with an evil spirit. And they had done everything that they knew how to do, and nothing was going on, and this father, day after day after day, had to watch his son go through this stuff. And so he comes up to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, can you do anything about this? Jesus, can you help my son? And Jesus was like, yeah, all things are possible with me. Do you believe this? And the father goes, yeah, I believe, sorta. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but that's what he does, because he says this, I do believe, but help my unbelief. I do believe, God. I believe you're there, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. You see, there was a time in my life when I really did believe, but what I don't understand, Jesus, is my son has been hurting, and I've been praying for a long time, and I've fasted, and I've took him to every doctor that was around, and I've been doing everything that your word tells me to do, and I've been believing, but right now, it's just not so easy, because I'm looking at my son going through this mess day after day after day. You see, I do believe, but God, can you help my unbelief? And I think we're all there at times. I know as I hear the news, as I see our society today, it doesn't matter what happens, it affects everybody. We're angry at the speed of the internet. We're bitter and unforgiving at the speed of the news. And the news focuses on the things that are going to try to prick us, to get us to move, to get us to be angry, to be bitter, to be unforgiving. We see lawlessness and riots and injustice, and it doesn't matter what people say or do. If you don't agree with this person, then they hate you. But if you agree with this person, then this person hates you. You know, we live in a time where it's just crazy. Crazy. You know what? I wish instead of this coronavirus where we had to kind of go into hiding and everything, I almost wish that this EMP would have gone off and we would have no cell phones, no television, no news, no nothing. All we have left is the Word of God. And we can open up and see, what God, what do you say about this? God, how are you moving in this? Help my unbelief. Habakkuk answers back to God when God says, I'm going to raise up these bitter people. And listen to what he says. Are you not, he's talking to God, he says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment. He's talking about the Chaldeans. And you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? God, I believe, but this is difficult. Two things we learn from that. The first is God is God, and God will do what God wants to do. The second thing is we are not God, and we are not as good as we think we are. Oh, you're raising up them to come. I'm not that bad. They're going to come and judge me. They're going to come and make my life miserable. I'm not as bad as them. So God, I don't want to hear that. God is God. And God will do whatever it takes to make his people holy and make them righteous. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So what do you do when you find yourself in Habakkuk's shoes? What do you do when everything that you see around you and people that we know and all the stories that are floating around out there, when life hands us a pandemic, what do we do? When the world seems to be just spiraling out of control, what do we do? When it seems like you can't even say anything without being labeled by somebody. You can't have an opinion because that puts you on one side of the fence or one side of the line of the sand. What happens? Here's what happens. You stop first and breathe, and you embrace Jesus. You embrace Jesus. And just like the group Casting Crowns and their song, you know, sometimes it's hard to hold on. So just let go and just be held. God is big. God is merciful. God is love. But God will also hold everybody accountable. It's not our job to hold anybody else accountable. It's not our job to tell people what's right and wrong in their lives. That's the Holy Spirit's work in somebody's life. Our job is to embrace Jesus, hold on, or just let go and just be held. Because you'll find out, if you finish out the book of Habakkuk, you're going to find out that God is true to his promises. God came through, but you know, Sandra would often say, you know, kind of a phrase like this, but I'm going to use it in this context. God is finally saying to his people, I've had a belly full of your foolishness. Now it's time to straighten out. We don't like that straightening out. The New Testament puts it this way, says that he is the vine dresser and we're the branches. So what happens if the branches aren't producing fruit? Do you remember what he says? They're cut off and they're thrown in the fire. But the branches that do produce fruit, what happens to them? He prunes them. He prunes them. None of us like that pruning process. The cutting, the situations that go through, the things that are hard and difficult, and we don't see the answer right away, but it is producing better fruit, more fruit. And it's helping our roots to go deeper into God himself. Hold on. Trust in his word and promises. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that as your people, we would not get caught up in all of the craziness in the world and let fear just abound. Father, I pray that we would use this time to to wrestle with you with our real questions and our concerns, and Father, to continue to spend time in your presence crying out to you. Father, in our might, we try to do things as men and women, and we end up making things even worse. Father, we pray for a spiritual revival across our nation. Father, I pray that it first starts in our own lives and in our homes and families, and then would spread to our churches and then spread across our nation and then across this world. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just be free to move and to bring forth good fruit. But Father, for those times that we are experiencing this crisis of unbelief, Father, I pray that this would be a time of walking through that valley, that you are with us and you're guiding us. And even when we don't see it, God, you're there. Even when we don't feel it, God, you are still there. You are working and you never stop. And when we come out through the other side of the valley, Father, everything is bright and clear and clean, and we can see where you were moving all along. Father, I pray for the prophetic eyes that we can see beyond the craziness in front of us. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, and we do all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.